Chapter 7. The Challenge of Lord Pellinore. Arthur was crowned in Wales in the ruins of the Roman fort at Caerleon, the castle of the lion. Merlin, Sir Ector, and Kay were there, together with all the knights who had seen something special in the lad on the back of the hay cart. Others didn't come. The crown had hardly been placed on Arthur's head before a messenger arrived with a letter from a knight called Sir Lord Pellinore. He sent Arthur a toy knight on horseback and said that he hoped Arthur's nursemaid would let him play with it. When Sir Ector read the letter, he was furious. "Raise an army, Lord King," he said. "Pellinore will soon change his mind when he sees our battle flags." "Father's right," Kay agreed. "Your enemies are all waiting to see what you do about Pellinore. If you let him get away with this insult, they'll think they can do just that." Arthur felt all the knights staring at him, waiting for him to tell them what to do. "Will I have to make war to bring peace, Merlin?" Arthur asked. "It doesn't make sense." "You must do what you think is right," Merlin replied. "It must be your choice, not mine." "Then we must fight," Arthur told his knights. "If I don't rule the whole country, then being king means nothing. But we must fight fairly. Anyone who surrenders and swears loyalty to me will get a full pardon." "That's no way to make war," protested a hot-headed knight. "All your enemies must die, Lord King." "That's the old way of doing things." The voice was so powerful that everyone turned to see who had spoken. It was Sir Gawain. "We must do as King Arthur says," said Sir Gawain. "We can't unite the country with blood." He looked at Arthur and smiled, and though it didn't seem the right time for smiling, Arthur smiled back. He suddenly felt that he'd found a friend, and he never had a friend before. In the times that followed, Arthur came to realise that he needed friends badly. The noblemen who refused to have him as their king visited King Lucius of France and asked for help. Lucius gave them money and men. He knew that if Britain went on weakening itself with civil war, it would be easier for him to invade. Time after time, powerful nobles marched out with their armies to fight the boy king. Time after time, Arthur defeated them in battle, though not all the fighting was as fair as Arthur had hoped. War turned out to be dirty, uncomfortable, and often boring. The new king made mistakes, though fewer than many people had expected, and he fought with such courage that many of his enemies were turned into loyal supporters. Sir Ector told Arthur that he was a brilliant leader, but Arthur didn't think so. He just tried his best to use his common sense in the mess and muddle of battle. Of all Arthur's enemies, none gave him more trouble than Lord Pellinore himself. When Arthur captured his castle, Pellinore refused to surrender. He escaped to Scotland, raised a rebel army, and marched against the king. He was defeated in a bloody battle, but once more he escaped, and this time he seemed to vanish completely. Pellinore was annoying, but Arthur couldn't help admiring his bravery and strength of will. After a long search, Pellinore was found in Wales. He was living alone in a rocky valley where three streams met and fell into a roaring chasm. Across the chasm stretched a narrow bridge. Pellinore waited in full armour on his side of the bridge, waving his sword and shouting curses at anyone who came near. Several knights who were anxious to please the new king challenged Pellinore to single combat. He beat them all. "Go back to your boy king and tell him to come himself next time," he roared after them as they limped away. And Arthur did come, on a bright summer morning. When Pellinore saw the company of knights Arthur had brought with him, he laughed and began sharpening his sword against a stone. "Come on then, lads," he called to the knights. "I'll take you on one at a time, and when I finish with you, I'll cross this bridge and snap your boy king over my knee." "Lord Pellinore," said Arthur, "swear loyalty to me, and I'll give you back your castle and your lands. I need brave men like you." "Aye, to do your fighting for you, because you have no courage of your own," sneered Pellinore. "Why don't you cross over and fight me, face to face?" Arthur swung himself off his horse and walked towards the bridge. Kay dismounted and ran after him to block his way, Gawain following close behind. "Are you mad?" said Kay. "Pellinore will carve you up." "I have to fight him, Kay," said Arthur. "You're acting like a fool," snapped Kay. "Sir Kay," said Gawain sharply, "you forget that you're talking to the High King. Step aside." Once more, Arthur and Gawain smiled at one another, and then Arthur set off across the bridge. "He's just showing off," Kay hissed angrily. "He wants to prove to everybody how brave he is." "He wants to prove it to himself," Gawain said wisely. Above the roar of the falling water, Arthur seemed to hear the voice of his master at arms. "Take your time, lad. Hold your shield high." Arthur wished he could remember all the other things the Master at Arms had told him, but when the fighting started he was too busy to remember anything. They fought until their armour was dented, and they were both cut and bleeding. They fought until the rims of their shields were ragged, morning became noon, and it was so hot that the air shivered, but still they fought on, their swords clanging and sparking as they came together. Then Pellinore threw down his shield, raised his sword in both hands, and brought it crashing down with such strength that it shattered the blade of Arthur's sword and knocked the young king onto his knees. Pellinore raised his visor, wiped blood and sweat from his eyes. "Do you surrender, boy?" he asked hoarsely. "No," said Arthur defiantly. "Surrender, or I'll hack you in two," Pellinore growled. Arthur looked at the stump of his sword. It was the one he had drawn from the anvil and the stone. The dream of being High King now seemed as broken as the steel in his hand. "I'll never surrender to you, or anyone," he cried. He flung himself at Sir Pellinore, wrapping his arms around his waist and pulling. Pellinore was taken by surprise and toppled over. Something struck the side of Arthur's head, and a bright light flashed in front of his eyes. Behind the light was a darkness that swallowed him down.